Good morning, everyone. I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Today is the 8th of July, the 190th day of 2024, with 176 days remaining on our way to 2025. We've officially entered the second half of this leap year of 2024. Cooperative extension at the University of Maine informs us that the genus Neotypicen, comprised of the annual or dog day cicadas, emerge from the soil in Maine during the dog days of summer, July and August, as nymphs and then quickly molt as adults, shedding their exoskeletons and then, being strong flyers, spending most of their lives high in trees, so that in Maine we are more likely to see a cicada's exoskeleton than an actual cicada, making them somewhat of a curiosity here. Paul Jones's poem, Cicada Rondeau, has this to say. They don't so much sing as plead. In their droning sound, stampede. I hope they find the love they need, something more than meat and breed. Can that even be with insects, to have sensations beyond touch? Do they know joy as well as sex? They don't so much. Heavenward last night, our ever-so-slender crescent moon passed 3 degrees north of the planet Mercury, and tomorrow night our waxing crescent moon will keep company with the bright star Regulus, brightest in the constellation Leo the Lion. Our own microcosmic constellation of fauna and mostly flora in the backyard garden, otherwise known as El Jardín, has for several years now been an increasingly experimental realm, where limited attention is paid to the domesticated perennials, enough to give them a fighting chance against the laissez-faire of the myriad wildflowers, and often unpredictable though nonetheless damaging assaults from assorted critters such as Japanese beetles, chipmunks, squirrels, woodchucks, and deer, the latter being for many years deterred by a 6-foot-high barrier of netting stretched along posts. But keeping that in good repair did not remain at the top of the to-do list. Hence, what once was a prolific vegetable and domesticated perennial garden has devolved to less than a dozen stalwart species, such as tiger lilies, blue iris, Canadian rhubarb, lemon balm, comfrey, lemon thyme, forget-me-nots, snowdrops, oregano, stelladoro, and the oldest member of the ensemble, hollyhocks, the only plant besides the resident river birch that the annually marauding Japanese beetles attack. They began showing up on Independence Day this past Thursday, and those spotted were promptly dispatched. Any remaining vegetable aspect, the nightshade contingent of peppers, eggplants, and tomatoes, has been containerized into terracotta pots standing on the patio adjacent to El Jardín. Coping with the periodic assaults from the junior fauna, such as squirrels and woodchucks, will sometimes be as simple as my opening the nearby dining room window and yelling, "Digolabadoo!" the completely unrelated name of an uninhabited island in the Maldives of the Indian Ocean. For the nonce, then, in the years since the fence has been removed and our vigilance diminished, the wildflowers have been allowed to flourish in a fertile, though no longer extensively managed, garden plot, and include Queen Anne's lace, yarrow, evening primrose, goldenrod, buttercup, mustard, hawkweed, black-eyed Susan, butterfly weed, lupin, daisy, purple aster, cowvetch, swamp milkweed, tall meadow rue, large bluets, dandelion, burdock, little bluestem, bracken fern, and bead or sensitive fern. Wonderful things happen there from time to time, such as the other late afternoon when a little squadron of a half dozen or so bumblebees buzzed briefly around the hollyhocks, long enough to be attracted by the fresh blossoms, sample some nectar, and then decide the inside of the flowers would be a great place to spend the night. Today, in 292, the earliest date on a Maya inscription was made, depicting the enthronement in Tikal of King Cahuil I. Today, in 1497, Vasco da Gama sailed from Lisbon, Portugal, on his first voyage to India. Today, in 1663, England's King Charles II approved the Rhode Island Royal Charter. Today in 1680, the first confirmed tornado in America killed a servant in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Today in 1731 in Boston, theologian Jonathan Edwards preached his first published sermon, God Glorified in Man's Dependence. Today in 1776 in Philadelphia, Colonel John Nixon gave the first public reading of the Declaration of Independence. Today in 1777, Vermont introduced a new constitution, one which prohibited slavery. Today in 1796, the U.S. State Department issued its first U.S. passport. Today in 1800, Dr. Benjamin Waterhouse gave the first cowpox vaccination in the U.S. to his son to prevent smallpox. Today in 1889, journalist Charles Henry Dow published the first issue of the Wall Street Journal. Today in 1913, Alfred Carleton Gilbert was issued a patent for his Erector set, which would become one of the most popular toys of all time. Today in 1947, news reports were broadcast that a UFO had crash-landed in Roswell, New Mexico. Today in 1839, in the upstate New York town of Richford, John Davison Rockefeller was born. Biographer Ed Morrow tells us that John's mother, Elizabeth Davison, was a pious woman who married a less than pious man, William Avery Rockefeller, a con man who styled himself doctor and peddled elixirs supposedly capable of curing everything from colic in cattle to cancer in human beings. He traded horses, sold real estate, and made loans at high rates, had a secret second wife in a different town. He cheerfully said, "I cheat my boys every chance I get. Makes them sharp." John's mother, Elizabeth, reserved the heaviest chores for him and was strict. One time, while whipping John, he protested that he was innocent, and she replied, "Never mind, we have started on this whipping, and it will do for next time." Later on, she remarked of her son, "I don't know what John is going to be when he grows up, but I'm sure of one thing, he won't starve." Nicknamed the Deacon by his friends, John was a sober-minded fellow who chose to go to trade school to learn practical skills, despite his mother suggesting he attend college. He kept meticulous account books detailing his every expense. Whenever asked what career he intended to pursue, John replied, "I'm going to make $100,000. He began as a clerk for a railway company during the Civil War, saved his pay, and speculated on a method for extracting petroleum from the ground, then built a refinery and made secret arrangements for transporting his oil at rates lower than his competitors. He named his oil company Standard Oil, suggesting to all that it was the standard by which all others would be judged, and it indeed had become the world standard before the federal government forced the company's breakup. John D. Rockefeller claimed, "The good Lord gave me my money." And Rockefeller always tithed to his church and donated to many charities, creating a family philanthropic tradition that his son John D. Rockefeller Jr. would pursue, including regionally on Mount Desert Island, with the construction of carriage roads that would later become part of Acadia National Park. Today is also the birthday in 1621 of French poet Jean de La Fontaine. In 1831 of American pharmacist and inventor of Coca-Cola, John Pemberton. In 1838 of German aviation pioneer Ferdinand von Zeppelin. In 1844 of American cooking teacher and author of the Boston Cooking School, Mary Johnson Lincoln. In 1857 of French child psychologist Alfred Binet. In 1908 of American musician, songwriter, and bandleader Louis Jordan. And of American politician and sometime Seal Harbor, Maine resident Nelson Rockefeller. In 1914 of American jazz singer Billy Eckstein. In 1917 of American actress Faye Emerson. And of British actress Pamela Brown. In 1924, of American blues, jazz, and rock piano player Johnny Johnson. In 1926, of Swiss-American psychiatrist and author Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, in 1930 of American jazz keyboardist Earl Van Dyke, in 1931 of American pop singer Jerry Vale, and of Native American composer and educator Louis Ballard. In 1934, of English comedian Marty Feldman. In 1935, of American pop singer Steve Lawrence. In 1944, of American rock drummer Johnny Johansson. In 1948, of American actress Kim Darby. In 1951, of American actress Angelica Houston. In 1958, of American actor Kevin Bacon. And in 1961, of American country singer Toby Keith. From Orono, Maine, I'm R.W. Estella with a word in Edgewise. Here's to the third full week of summer and the 28th week of 2024.